Radha Madhava Punya Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Kirivada Dali. Gopi Jana Vallabha Kirivada Dali. Yasoda nandana raja dana dandana Yasoda nandana raja dana dandana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Radha Madhava Punya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada Chila, Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Chila Prabhupada. Jaya Gaura Nitaya, Gaura Nitaya, Gaura Nitaya, Jaya Gaura Nitaya. Jaya Gaura Nitaya, Jaya Gaura Nitaya, Jaya Gaura Nitaya, Jaya Gaura Nitaya. Hare Krishna, Na Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Apisvet, if it were so that Paya, by leaving aside Bhungtaha, have dined Tvam, yourself Sambhojan, deserving to dine together Vridha, the old man Balakan, boys, Yugupsitam, abominable. Karma, action. Kinchit, something. Kritavan, you must have done. Na, not. Yat, that which. Akshamam, unpardonable. Translation. These are, by the way, questions by Maharaj Yudhishthira to Arjuna, who returned from a journey to Dwaraka. The purpose of this journey was to bring informations to Maharaj Yudhishthira about Lord Krishna's plans and whereabouts and so on. So, because Krishna had by that time already left the planet, everything was extremely inauspicious. Kali Yuga had appeared, and Yudhishthira now receives his brother back and thanked Arjuna Vida. And Arjuna is very, very heartbroken. So Yudhishthira wants to find out what happened, and he asked this question. Have you not taken care of old men and boys who deserve to dine with you? Have you left them and taken your meals alone? Have you committed some unpardonable mistake which is considered to be abominable? Yudhishthira says, why are you looking so miserable? Purport. It is the duty of a householder to feed first all of the children, the old members of the family, the brahmanas and the invalids. Besides that, an ideal householder is required to call for any unknown hungry man to come and dine before he himself goes to take his meals. He's required to call for such a hungry man thrice on the road. The neglect of this prescribed duty of a householder, especially in the matter of the old men and children, is unpardonable. No pardon. Amaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Garada Srivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. It is very interesting to see Maharaj Yudhishthira's question and analyze it a little bit. Yudhishthira saw that Arjuna was totally miserable. He was sad and extremely almost finished, as we say in ISKCON, and he wants to find out what is the cause of this. So amongst the different questions he asked his brother appears this question. It is Yudhishthira thinks, my God, he's so miserable. Could it be that he has not taken care of others? Now this is a very characteristic question to the Vedic civilization. You can become happy by taking care of others. This is something which is totally unknown. It's known, but it is not so well in practice in our Western civilization. In my travels outside of Germany, I often happen to meet people who have a very bad opinion of the Germans. They think the Germans are very self-centered, and I think they are correct. But it's not that only Germany has this vision in life. All the conditioned souls have it. Here in this material world are prisoners of two concepts. They are called in Sanskrit Aham and Mameti. Both of these concepts rest on what is philosophically called a false conception of the self, or in plain words, false ego. A false ego really is constituted, zusammengesetzt, of these two concepts. I want this, I think this, I have this right, mine. These are my interests, these are my children, this is my nation, this is my dhoti. In a spiritually oriented society, it is understood that God is the possessor of everything, Bhaktaram Yajna Tattvasam, and that he is to be pleased by every activity. In a materialistic society, we are all our own little gods based on this false egoism. In political campaigns, you can often see this. Recently, there was a political campaign where Bill Clinton, the American president, run for presidentship. And it was extremely saddening to see, es machte einen direkt traurig, to see how these so-called leaders of modern society are actually totally incapable to rise beyond selfish interests. Recently, in Serbia, this has also been seen. The present government is actually a government of gangsters, bandits, and exploiters. They are actually not even the rightful government. Last autumn, the elections showed clearly that the opposing party was the rightful government, Ali. But the old government just forged the results. In Deutsch, die haben die Ergebnisse einfach unter den Tisch gefegt und verfälscht. So that now the old government is still in power to exploit the people. People are so afraid. Gopal and Ishwari went and brought a car to one, the brother of Ishwari. And when the brother began to pay the car, he didn't go to the bank like we do here. What he did is he opened the Gardinenstange and pulled the Nemetschka Markas out of it, the German marks out of it. And Gorgopal was saying, it was becoming more, and something was under the toilet seat. He's not a devotee, really, but he gave a nice donation for the temple. Something was under the carpet, and I was not interested to find really out all the hiding places. The reason is that everyone knows this government is only for a few months more in power, and then they are kicked out, and they try to take everything with them what they can. They will plunder the banks, they will plunder the bank accounts, they will do so. Everyone hides it also before the police, because the police breaks in sometimes and tries to steal the hidden money. This is Kali Yuga civilization. It's something which is also going on in Germany in a legalized form. The people are so exploited because this is very important to notice. Modern men can not go beyond selfishness and self-centeredness. It's a great, great problem to the conditioned souls. Now, in the Vedic civilization, your worth is not measured by how much you are able to take and enjoy in this world. Your worth is measured how much you can give to others. As we have heard here, the householder is required to call three times for any unknown hungry man. Gibt es noch jemanden, der noch nicht gegessen hat? And then he feeds his atitis, or unannounced guests. This brings us to the Vedic civilization, which is totally opposed to the Western civilization of self-centeredness. We as devotees have to learn to join into the culture of giving. We have often heard this. To learn also to give ourselves in the devotional service to Krishna. Practice it in little deeds of giving every day. What you can give to others, what service you can render to others. That would greatly increase your character and also minimize your suffering, Jagannath. I'm just seeing your mind went into most probably to Denmark or somewhere. Not really, somewhere just, yeah. So that will decrease your suffering. If you learn to give, we have to break out of this terrible prison of false ego, this terrible prison of self-centeredness. See, this is a speciality of the Western culture. Asiatic cultures know this. For instance, and I was surprised to hear how they build their apartments in China. And you will be very, very interested to hear this. Bajendra is not here, he's a builder. He would also be very interested. Radhanath, where's Radhanath? Also a builder. Is he coming there? No. Dobro došli, Draženen, and Olja, dobro jutre. Sedan. This is the Dragi Otats and Maika of our Rajmohan of Vuk. We have to give a translation to you. No? Yeah. Für Dragon or nur für Dragon or für? Then it's better if you sit together and zhup, then the sound comes. Yeah. Did you have a good rest? Svavate Urenu. Yes. This is a place for sleeping. We are just to bring our guests up to the point where we are discussing. We are just talking about two different types of personalities. One is the self-centered person, and the other is the person who is more in the giving mood. And we have discussed that it is the speciality of the Asiatic culture to have a giving mood and not such a self-centered mood. So I wanted to explain this with two examples, one from China and one from India. And I will take an example from the Chinese architecture of rooms. And from India, I will take the example of taking care of other living entities. The first example, the Chinese example, is describing the architecture of the Chinese rooms. The best room in a Chinese, first of all, the rooms are built in such a way that in order to get to one room, you have to go through through another room. If you want to go to the last room in the apartment, you have to go through all the other rooms. You follow? It's not like our, for instance, here, there are left and right, there are rooms. It's not that you go and there's one way in between. No, in China, all the rooms come behind each other. And you walk through the rooms, through each room. Now the best room for the family, which is given to the oldest son and his wife, is the first room. It's the room which has the least amount of privacy. It's the room which everyone goes through in order to go to all the other rooms. Why is this the best room? We, with our Western concept, cannot really understand. This is the versus room we can imagine. Listen to the how the Chinese people think. It is the best room because most of the people come through it, and the people think it's very nice to have a good relationship with others. They want to be with as many people as possible. They are, in other words, not I-centered, but we-centered. Can you understand their logic? This is how they think. And my other example comes from India. Once a devotee saw in India a man engaged in an activity which he could at first glance not understand. What he was doing, this man, he was spreading kichererbsmehl, chickpea flour, all over the floor. And our devotee thought, well, why is he doing this? This flour should be used for making laddus or other preparations. But our man thought, so he asked him, why are you doing it? And he said, my vow is to take care of 10,000 living entity a day. And because I'm a poor man, I cannot feed 10,000 humans. I feed 10,000 ants. Mlaps. This is my vow. This is what I do. Do you see the point? This man was extending his care beyond even the human species. He took care of even the non-human species, understanding what we call in our language Pandita Samadarshina, that there is a spirit soul in all life forms. Now please contrast and compare this to our Western ethics. According to this paradigm, we all are ugly, self-centered, illusioned people. That's the reason why people have such a bad opinion about the Germans, because they are so wealthy and they take it all for themselves. Other nations are also self-centered. This is our upbringing from which we are coming, and I think we can learn even from these two examples how necessary, let us say, that our worldviews are based on a type of illusion. It's that we can become happy by taking as much as possible for us. Now, I wanted to now bring you in tune with the sum total of self-centeredness. In our spiritual community, there is a devotee at the present moment who is very much suffering due to a lot of self-centeredness. The way it happens when you are really getting struck is if you got struck by the arrows of lusty desires. Lusty desires can be in two categories. One is for sense gratification, plain sex life. And the other is we don't want this, but we want, just to enjoy having or to be happy having someone who cares for us. Now I must say I said something wrong. I said this refers to a devotee in our community. What I This is either irreführend, brings up mistake. It's not one who lives in our Abenteuer community. It's someone who lives outside, and it's not even important to know who it is, nor will I ever say this, obviously. When we become self-centered in this way, we lose all discrimination. There are five powerful arrows of Cupid who enter the heart into a person who suffers from this type of self-centeredness, and you will be glad to hear what they are. The first arrow is called Mohana, or fascination. This is relevant for all of us who live in celibacy. You become fascinated by the opposite sex. He looks so interesting, or she looks so interesting, wonderful. The second is Stambana. That is, you give that person very much attention. You give him your heart because you are just so much attracted. The third aspect you give him your heart because you are just so much attracted. The third aspect is called Unmada, or intoxication. Intoxication means you lose your sense of discrimination, just like someone who drinks alcohol loses his sense of discrimination and direction. Also someone who is coming into, attacked by Cupid, is just losing his intoxication. Then the fourth, this is getting intoxicated. The fourth is called Shoshana, intense attraction, and the fifth Tapana, or you are just in the flames, burning inflammation. This is how the arrows of Cupid struck our psychology, and we become extremely self-centered at that time, and we cannot read any longer very nicely the reality. A person who becomes self-centered like this imagines all kinds of things. He imagines when he sees a tree, he thinks, oh, the tree has reminds me of my beloved. He has strong legs like my beloved. And the tree has a frisura, hairstyle like my beloved. When the beloved should look for his pencil, which has fallen on the floor, she interprets it, oh, he has put his head on my lap. It takes on dimensions where you can really see the potency of the illusory energy working with great intensity, with extreme intensity. Maya is just cruelly taking the viveka away from such a poor conditioned soul. So this gets into the sum total of self-centeredness, where we are totally basing our activities on I and on my. I think, I analyze it like this, I'm interested like this, and my concepts go in this direction, and we are totally blinded to the reality. So in spiritual life, we have to get out of this prison, otherwise we cannot make any advancement, but on the contrary, have to travel from one life form to the next and continue our material existence. In spiritual life, we have to learn to see what is the plan of Krishna in my life, what is the plan of the Lord, so that I can advance in, on my way back home, back to God. This is very, very important. Let us not waste this human, this chance which we have obtained in this human form of life. The mind is so restless and such a cheater. He has cheated us life after life, and therefore we have not been able to come to the level of spiritual development. Let us not in this time of our life make the same mistake which we have done life after life. Maharaj Rishabhdev expresses this in very poetical language. He says, even as a person who is has gained control over his mind should be extremely careful. He compares such a person with a hunter who has captured a rare animal and and has put him in a cage. Now Rishabhdev says, even if you have managed to control your mind, which is like a wild animal, like a tiger, you cannot leave the door of the cage open. The moment you leave the door of the cage open, the wild animal of the mind whoosh, runs again to material life. You must be very careful. We have taken to spiritual life, we have captured the wild animal of our minds for some time. Now let us be very careful that the door remains shut, that he doesn't run out again into material concepts and into I and mine. Hare Krishna, I hope my lecture was not too intense for some of you. This is all I wanted to say today. Do you have any questions regarding these points? In our society, it's you can sell prasadam in our society. The moment you give it for free, people think it's not valuable. But there are outlets how you can do it. You could, for instance, arrange preaching programs and distribute prasadam there to the people. That's a very nice possibility. Or you can do what Narayani did yesterday. She fed a hungry sannyasi who was almost at the verge of death. That's very nice. I'm sorry, it doesn't. You can also feed a hungry grihastha, a fellow grihastha. You should invite devotees to your home and make a prasadam and distribute it. The idea is to somehow give something, and you have to be clever. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, yes. And the mind is the easy way to deal with the mind is you sometimes have to ignore it and give it another engagement. Those of us who have experience with children know when a child has a desire, you know, you can't sit down with it and analyze it and from where did it come and why is it there, and then you have to, a desire which cannot be fulfilled or which is harmful, you have to somehow divert the mind of the child to another desire. Hoffnungsfähig, yes. Yes, you must give it a higher. The art is to give it a higher drishtva, a higher taste. Param drishtva. You need to be very intelligent for this. I think we should definitely study our minds and our needs and see how to give it a higher taste. This is a real art. You have to really know what you need and how to give it to the mind in a way that it is good. My mind, for instance, I like entertainment like anything. My mind needs this. I don't know why. He's so unphilosophical, my mind. You know, and now I could be really in problem with this, you know, because unfortunately in Krishna consciousness we don't have yet developed our culture so much. So I need many books which are in Krishna consciousness, which are still in Krishna consciousness, but which can just where I can satisfy the imagination of my mind. Now I'm starting Jaiva Dharma. Poh. That's the best. That's the best story, Krishna conscious story by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then I will go to Brihad Bhagavatamrita. You know that but you have to really see what you can do with yourself. Once you have the higher taste, you automatically lose. Then the geist is no longer aufmüpfig. He would say, okay, you tricked me successfully, but I like it. What do you think, Olga? That's an interesting theory, isn't it? You have to be a little intelligent to stay in Krishna consciousness. You can't always get what you want, but you definitely can get what you need. Oh, by the way, this is not from my own imagination. I just notice. Can get what you need by knowing how to get it. I'm very sorry, this Arishita is called. It's true. Mother Saraswati spoke through the unenlightened voices of the mundane poets. Was meinst du dazu, Jan? this kind of light on, you know. Well, I want to address now a question which our Bhakta Bhion has, but he is not asking it because he prefers to ask in German. The question is of Bhakta Bhion is how to make the theory, to bring the theory into the practice. Am I right? This is somehow implied in your answer. First of all, you must purify yourself a little bit. When you are not yet so purified, nicht geläutert, then you will always go back to your old habits, also old thought habits. You must know you brought the same mind which you had when you lived near Hamburg, you brought the same mind now when you live in Abenteuer. It's still the same. You have not changed it. It's not possible. So the first step, really, for someone who wants to put the theory of spiritual life into practice is he has to purify his mind a little bit. Otherwise, you are not free enough to do new things and think new things. So after you have purified your mind, you must come to the seminar, The Modes of Material Nature, and apply it in your life. It might be given. I thought maybe to give it to the devotees next week, each morning. We need 3 mornings for this, or 4 mornings. Theory into practice, you really need to work at the mind. You need to think new, you need to be enthusiastic, and then you can do things very easily. So purify the mind and get informations with the mind, in the mind, new informations, and then do them. These are the 3 steps. Purify the mind, educate yourself, and just do it, as Prabhupada used to say. The sports shoe company Nike has taken this slogan, just do it, but Prabhupada was the first. They have stolen it. It's a war on illusion, Björn. But you have the best weapons. They are given from Krishna. Any other questions? Dragon is laughing at me. Any other questions? Raj Mohan. Not at the moment. You don't have to ask the question. Okay, then let us end our lecture here. We wish you all the best in your Krishna consciousness. When I have spoken too heavy in this lecture, forgive me, but life is heavy. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.